Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tempcast, the official GBA Temp podcast, episode number 14. Today, I'm joined by Steven.
Hey, what's going on, everyone?
And returning back, Eric.
Hey, Alan John, I have a bone to pick with you. Last week, I showed up a measly 2 hours late, and you replaced me with our executive producer, and it was the best episode we ever had. God bless America.
I mean, what were you doing? Playing Memes of Memories or whatever it's called?
Something like that. I was driving and playing Melody of Mysteries.
Did you get pulled over for playing while driving?
Yes.
Wow, Eric. I mean, you got to be on time next time, you know? Anyways, we're going to be talking about some of the biggest news that happened this week. Some of the most controversial news that happened. You might have heard about this. It's in the mainstream. I mean, I saw this on CNN. So everybody's talking about it. Nintendo banned a Melee tournament, and I quote Kotaku, over some bullshit. That's right. So what basically happened was that the organizers of some kind of, what was it called? Big House?
Yeah, the Big House.
The Big House, who I suppose have been doing Melee tournaments for quite a long time, decided to make a online tournament. And you might be thinking, wait, Smash Bros. Online? Wait, that game came out on the GameCube. That thing didn't have online play. That didn't have Wi-Fi. How are they playing? Oh, well, they're using emulators. Using a mod add-on for Dolphin called Slippy. And that's how they would, in theory, hold this tournament online. Because you can't have an in-person tournament these days for some reason. I don't know why. Nintendo basically said, no, you're not going to do that. This is illegal, you know. What Kotaku is saying is that this is some absurd bullshit. Again, this isn't me saying this. This is Kotaku. So before I get into my very controversial opinion, do you guys have any opinions about this?
The thing that sticks out to me about this situation is that Nintendo seems to be insisting that they must have been using an illegal copy of the game in order to play it on Dolphin. But, I mean, emulators, they're always kind of a gray legal area. But, I mean, you can rip a ROM yourself from a disc and obtain a copy to use legally on an emulator. So it is a little bit of, I don't know, it seems like a stretch to say that it absolutely has to be an illegally obtained copy.
Yeah, I think I'll agree with Kotaku for the first time in a long time and say this is some bullshit. But at the same time, from a different point of view, not even talking about the legality of it, but just from the feasibility of having an online Melee tournament. You know, I have a friend from Wisconsin who's a competitive Smash player, playing the version for the Switch, and online sucks, I guess. Much better having a online Melee? It's important to not have any lag whatsoever when you're playing these games, if you're playing it in a very competitive fashion. You know, I don't really play Melee competitively, but I can see how if there is any kind of lag, that could just destroy the whole thing. So from a technical standpoint, I don't see how this was going to work in the first place.
From what I've read, Slippy is supposed to be like a new version of online play made for the Dolphin emulator. It's supposedly better than the previous implementation they had.
Would it have solved those problems, though?
I mean,
completely.
You can't have zero lag in any online tournament. There's just way too many factors, you know? Mm-hmm. But it would have been better than nothing, I suppose, for the players, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not saying that what happened was right, but, you know, that's just something that some people aren't considering. They're just saying, oh, Nintendo greedy. Oh, Nintendo being greedy. There you go. Yeah. That's our game. It's from the GameCube. It's years and years old. Get out of here, Nintendo. Stop touching your old stuff. And, you know, to an extent, I agree. I'm like, how much money is Nintendo still making from this game anyway? You know, so
none, because they don't sell it at all.
Exactly. And this isn't like they don't make money from these tournaments, do they? I don't think they do anyway.
I'm not sure. No, I they probably don't have to pay like a licensing fee or anything to run a tournament.
Yeah, so yeah, especially not like, yeah, well, maybe for something this big, but you know, local things definitely not.
No. but something that's broadcast, because I think this was going to be streamed on Twitch and stuff like that.
What are your very, very controversial thoughts on this, Alan John?
I mean, I think people aren't looking at this at the bright side. First of all, think how many children's lives have been saved by, you know, not doing this tournament. Just think about it.
They wouldn't grow up to become Melee players and be reviled from society, become those weird people that are obsessed with frame rates.
The last thing you want a child to be near by is a Melee player, you know? So there's that. And also, I mean, I don't know how this affects an online tournament, but I know that real life tournaments are really smelly because Smash players are supposedly, you know, not very hygienic. This is what I've heard. I don't know if it's a fact, but I will say this. I have seen a lot of Smash players argue with me about this on the internet, not to the fact that they smell, but to the fact that you supposedly don't have to shower every day. This is something they are very adamant about. They've been arguing with me about this for years now. I just say, what's so hard taking a shower and putting on deodorant? And they either say, oh, first of all, you can't take like a shower every single day. I mean, just think about the logistics of it. It's way too difficult. That's the first thing. Second of all, deodorant, it's bad for you. Okay. So putting it on like every day, can you imagine what that does to your health? So there might be some truth to the statements that have been made about Smash players. I don't know. I can't confirm nor deny.
See, that makes sense to me because Melee is all about speed. People love it because it's the fastest one. And I think if you have that greasy, oily skin, your hands can just slide all over the controller really quick. Also, famously, Brawl had tripping implemented, which people hated. And if you're in the shower every day, you might slip on the floor. And then, so I'd say Brawl players probably shower a lot, but not Melee players.
Plus, if you're in really close proximity with the other person, you could use it as an advantage because their game's all thrown off because they're smelling you and you're used to your own stench. So
that's
it
true.
Throws them off. That's not something that you can handle online. You're suddenly your biggest strategy is gone. Same thing for people who play Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh. It's like when you're that close proximity, I can't imagine how bad the world's greatest chess player smells.
Oh, no, they're classy. I mean, come on.
True Melee players only practice by bringing a CRT out into a New York alleyway and playing inside the dumpster. It's the only way to get the true experience.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's a reference you made to like a real event, something that really happened, and I don't get it. It sounds realistic if you think about it.
You know, sometimes Steven says very specific things that are completely outlandish and they make me go, huh, that's weird that Steven's saying this right now.
I'm just saying stay out of the alley in the back of 42nd Street because that's where I got my Smash set up. Don't fuck with it.
You're going to be the best.
But this is a real thing, isn't it? Not playing in dumpsters, but wasn't there an Evo or something where they had to put out like a statement to Smash Bros. Players asking them to shower?
Yeah, and people got offended. That's where the argument I described comes from. It comes from like a forum post where people were saying legitimately, you can't actually shower every day, okay? Deodorant's bad for you.
The crazy thing about that is it's not like it's a reputation or like a rumor that started where people were like, oh, Smash Bros. Players are stinky. It's literally to the point where an organization had to like come together and have a meeting and be like, we got to release a statement about the Smash Bros. Players. Like, that's insane.
Here's something interesting. The tournament Alan John and I had a while ago where we were speedrunning showers. We were seeing who could shower the fastest.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Not together. Again, this was remotely.
And you guys were, I was about to say, you guys were in the same shower, right?
We were doing it online.
There was a little bit of lag.
there was some lag.
That's the reason the shower competition had to stop. The shower company cease and assisted you.
Yeah, and you know, I got out of the shower. I tried to play Melee, and I was just so bad at it. And I was like, whoa, the showers are making me worse at this game because I wasn't psyching anybody out, you know? Okay, I have no idea what topic we're on right now. I do want to ask another question. You know, you guys know about Project M, right? I know about it. I don't actually know Nintendo's thoughts on it. Do you guys?
I believe they're against it, but I don't think they've ever been able to like have it officially shut down or anything.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
So yeah, but no, I know one thing. At some point, some kind of tournament organizer actually wanted to have a Project M event at their place, at their tournament. But Nintendo sent a cease and desist and said, no. You can't play this game. This is illegal. Hmm. You can't do that. No.
No. Not allowed.
Yeah, that's all I know. I don't know if it's still active. Let me check.
I know development stopped on it a while ago, and then someone else was planning on taking it up. I don't know if that ever happened or not. But I know, like, well, I know the Project M group is disbanded. Like, I think a good while ago they did.
Mm-hmm.
Something else about this Big House Online tournament. So they were planning on doing a Melee and a Smash Bros. Ultimate tournament. And Nintendo shut down the Melee tournament on the, you know, kind of spurious charge that, like, it has to be illegal and you're not allowed to play with a fan modification. But according to a statement Big House Online released, they also have to cancel the Ultimate tournament.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why. Like, there's literally nothing for that. I guess Nintendo just doesn't want anything to do with them, doesn't want to let Big House do any kind of Smash tournament, but
I legitimately don't know. This is just Nintendo being asses. I don't know how else to describe this. I mean, why would they care about this? I mean,
yeah.
What's next? Does Nintendo go open Twitch and find like punch out speedrunners and say, oh, you're playing this on an emulator, dude. I can tell by the pixels. We're sending you a cease and desist. Is that next?
I have a problem with that too, because, you know, as I do, speedrun on original hardware is the only way to do it. So, you know, get my personal best on Super Mario Bros. But most people who are streaming are not streaming on a original NES, you know what I mean?
No. Yeah. I just don't understand what Nintendo gets. Like, the Melee tournament, like, it's, you know, not, it doesn't really make sense, but I guess you could make some kind of argument for it, and it doesn't benefit Nintendo for the Melee tournament because they don't sell Melee anymore. But this could hypothetically get at least one person to buy a copy of Smash Bros. Ultimate or buy some DLC or get them back into playing it and then they buy DLC or something, right? Like, well, I don't understand. They don't gain anything from canceling the Ultimate tournament.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. Well, it's like when Smash Bros. First joined Evo, they had Melee and the Wii U one there, and a lot of people thought that Nintendo sort of insisted that they take Wii U in addition to Melee in order to get Melee, basically, as a promotional tool. And that made sense to me. I don't know if that was ever, you know, definitively said or anything. But now they're just canceling tournaments left, right, and center for no reason. Like, I don't know. This is so stupid.
Yeah, again, it's so weird. I mean, I could in some way understand banning the Melee because you gotta have a ROM in order to play it. The way you obtain that ROM, you know, that's already, you know, a good question. Like, does everybody, you know, just back up their original copy? Is backing up your ROMs even legal? Legal expert.
See, that's one of those things where people like to say, listen, it's totally fine. If I back up my own games and I keep the games, it's all okay. And it's like, that's still a morally, I'm not even legally, but a morally gray area because, all right, I go to GameStop or one of those stores that still exist and I take the game and I rip the game and then I sell the game. How is that any different than just grabbing it from the internet? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, well, you know, legally, the courts say this, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm not putting on my legal expert hat right now, but I am saying that, and I'm okay with it. I don't care if you do it. Pirate all you want. I don't care. Whatever. Just own up to it. It's a morally great thing to do. Whether you do it as ethically as possible, you know, it's still, it's a moral gray area. And I know a lot of people who are listening to it have pirated things without buying things before. You know, like don't kid yourselves. It's fine. Do it if you want. But I'm just going to say the same thing over and over again.
I personally can't wait until a listener misunderstands what you're saying and then starts commenting and you start arguing with him. That's what I'm waiting for. I can already see it happening in the YouTube comments on the thread. You know, it's already happening in my head.
And then I can go into the YouTube comments and start calling you racist again.
For no reason. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. From that point of view, I can understand why they banned the Melee tournament. But banning the Ultimate tournament, which you can play that on a Switch, you can play that online, it has built-in online functionality, that just seems like some kind of draconian form of punishment from Nintendo. Like, how dare you want to use emulators on a tournament with our game? No. No. Now, you can't even stream this other game, right? You can't do it.
Yeah, it's a bit silly. And I guess, so we were talking a few weeks ago, there was that Google Stadia dude talking about streaming games, and we were wondering, like, what is the legality of it exactly? I guess companies can just come in and stop you from streaming a game if they feel like it. They just usually don't take the time. Like,
with tournaments, it's, like, a little bit more sophisticated, because I suppose tournaments are supposed to have, like, sponsors and stuff, so it's not just, like, one guy streaming a game. It's more probably difficult than that.
Oh, that's fair, yeah. Because they could end up associated with, like, a sponsored brand that they don't necessarily want to. Like, yeah, that makes sense. You're right.
So,
yeah.
Anyways, moving on, away from Nintendo, another thing, oh, right, Nintendo again, bans RCM Loader. Okay, somebody else should come in and explain this, because I don't own a Switch, I don't know how Switches work.
So when you're modding a Switch, you need to do something, if you've heard of like the paperclip trick, you basically need to do that to put it into RCM mode, which, okay. I mean, I don't know, I'm not going to pretend I understand exactly what RCM mode is, but basically you can then, once it's in RCM mode, you can plug it into your computer and use that to inject a payload, so that'll let you launch into a custom firmware like Atmosphere. So basically whenever I turn off my Switch completely, when I turn it back on, it goes into RCM mode, which is just a black screen, and then I got to plug it into my computer and use a program to actually get into my custom firmware. And so the RCM loaders are basically little portable devices that can inject that payload for you. So you can just pop it into the bottom of your Switch, into the USB-C port, and turn it on and off and on the go, rather than having to carry a PC around with you.
Hmm. Oh, I thought Nintendo banned somebody selling paper clips. I thought that was what was going on. Okay.
No, it's not that. Because there are little things that people sell that, because you have to configure the paperclip in a very specific way, and so there are people will sell like pre-bent things that will do the job of the paperclip. But and I thought that's what it was at first too, but no, that's not what it is.
Oh, so this thing is only like possible on first gen Switches, right?
Yeah, I believe okay. So to my knowledge, I think maybe was SXOS able to do stuff beyond the first gen? I'm not sure.
I think so.
Yeah, if it was, it says here that it's compatible with SXOS, so maybe it could have worked beyond the first-gen Switches, but I'm not 100% sure.
What I wanted to go into is that Nintendo is claiming that piracy is an international problem for them, and it's getting worse. This is what they're saying. Nintendo lawyers claim that piracy has become, quote, serious, worsening, international problem, end quote. If you guys thought COVID-19 was a serious international problem, if you thought famine and hunger was a serious international problem, no. Trust me, there's something way worse. It's kids hacking their Switches to play Smash Bros.
In a tournament, maybe even.
Yeah.
God forbid. I mean,
the thing about piracy is it's been an international problem since the 1500s, right? sailing the open seas. It's an international crime. The United Nations are very anti-piracy, so I'm surprised that Nintendo's finally admitting that it's an international problem. Like, you know, it's still going on in Somalia and other countries. It's just like, it's, you know, people are dying from it. There's Tom Hanks movies about it. You know, you guys ever seen Pirates of the Caribbean? It's
That's my favorite Tom Hanks movie.
I thought you meant Castaway was about piracy.
Is it not?
I don't know. I can't remember how we ended up on that island. Maybe he was a pirate.
Probably.
He pirated a copy of Microsoft Flight Simulator and thought he could fly his own plane, ended up crashing it on the island.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Once again, this is Nintendo going after somebody who is selling and profiting off the hacking of their consoles. So we still don't know if Nintendo's going to go after the developers of Atmosphere. Hopefully not. I mean, because they're giving that stuff away for free. Basically, that's open source, I think.
It is open source, yeah.
So this should be like a lesson to people who are doing this kind of stuff. If you're going to be helping, assisting in some way with the hacking scene of the Switch, don't do it for money, please. Because you know, this doesn't end good. I understand you gotta feed yourself somehow, but this just seems like a bad idea.
You're gonna end up in a jail cell.
Yeah. They're gonna take you from Uganda or wherever Gary Bowser is from.
It was not Uganda.
Yeah, wasn't he in the Dominican Republic, I think?
It's not even close.
They're gonna extradite you. They're gonna take your ass from the Balkans and put it in a jail, you know? Yeah. Yeah, I know a lot of hackers are listening to this podcast, so you better watch out.
Oh, shoot. Sorry, guys, my microphone fell. Oh, I hate this thing. I wish it was more stable. Ugh. Do you guys know anything that's more stable than the stupid microphone that I'm using right now?
Well, guess what? My 3DS just updated, and, you know, I was surprised because I bought it used, and I was under the assumption that this platform is dead because Nintendo stopped all production on 3DSs, and the last time a 3DS game was released was like 5 years ago or something. So I suspected that
5 years ago
it's done, but yeah, it just popped up, and I updated it because, you know, I've got nothing to fear. I'm a legitimate user here. Okay. Are you listening to me, Nintendo? I don't have any Luma or
Gateway.
No, there's no gateway inside my 3DS. No, it uses a custom. It doesn't use a custom firmware. It uses the firmware given by Nintendo. And thankfully, Nintendo updated the firmware. Let me read the change logs. I think they're here somewhere. Let me just open them. Ah, yes. Here are the change logs. Are you ready? Are you ready? Because this is a long read.
All right. Paying attention. I'm ready.
So the official change log from Nintendo says the following. Further improvements to overall system stability and other minor adjustments have been made to enhance the user experience.
Thank God. I've been waiting for that since update 11.14.0-45, man.
I mean, the user experience was so bad on the 3DS before this update. Now it's enhanced. What else can I say? I haven't been able to move it from my desk. It's still stuck there. And if anybody knows how to make my 3DS unstable again, please help me. It's really annoying.
Yeah, my 3DS has its own gravitational pull at this point. It's so stable. It's just knocking everything else off kilter around it.
Yeah, it's weird because you'd think that with something so small like that, it's like all of the small things would go and rotate around it. Speaking of all of the small things, time to bring back our new segment, which has actually been a segment for a very long time now, All the Small Things, as sung by Kidz Bop Disc 1. So
I guarantee we're going to talk about these longer than we talked about either of the last two Nintendo items, which apparently were not small things somehow.
We certainly will. Guys, Capcom, ransomware, leaks, lions, tigers, and bears. What has happened? Steven, you came up with an update on GBA Temp recently. Please explain what happened to us.
2 weeks ago, these guys hacked Capcom and left a ransom note for them saying they wanted $11 million in bitcoins. Otherwise, they would be releasing personal information, but releasing information that they stole off of Capcom servers. Apparently, Capcom has not paid up because early this week, that information was released on the internet. And people have started coming through it. Apparently, these guys stole 1 terabyte of information, and only about 60 gigs have been released so far. So there might be more coming, or maybe the rest of it just isn't worth it for them to release. But there's been some interesting stuff in these in the leaks so far. I do think we should say off the bat that a lot of people's personal information was released through these leaks also.
Who cares?
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, yeah, a lot of the developers were basically doxed, and I don't know, like, it's a horrible thing. It feels weird to report on information that came from a leak like that that could affect the personal lives of people, but the game stuff is still worth speaking about, but I did want to give a brief mention to that. There haven't been any reports yet about people at Capcom being affected by any of this so far, but I still thought it was worth a mention.
Okay, so I'm reading the latest IGN post about this. I'm sorry, GBA Temp staff, I just, you know, gotta update your stuff more frequently. But I don't know if you guys heard of this, but they've actually released a list of names that are in the schedule, not like game titles.
Yeah, I saw something about that earlier today.
So starting off with the fourth quarter of 2021, they are planning to release Resident Evil Outbreak, which is, I wonder what Resident Evil Outbreak is. It's not Resident Evil Village, right? No. But it comes out around the same time, it seems. Holiday 21. The second title is a game for the second quarter of 2022, which is Dragon's Dogma 2. Dragon's Dogma was a game released about a couple of years ago, at least. And it has a cult following. It wasn't a hit, but it has a cult following. I know that. Came out around the same time as Skyrim. Have you guys played it?
No, I haven't played it.
I haven't played it. I assume that Jordan's played a Resident Evil Outbreak like a long time ago, but not this other one.
This might be a remake then, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, Resident Evil Outbreak came out in like 2003 or 4 or something.
Yeah, 2003.
Well, it seems like another Resident Evil remake is coming out soon. So Street Fighter 6 is scheduled for the third quarter of 2022. That's interesting. That's going to be interesting to see a new Street Fighter game. It makes sense. The new generation of consoles is out already. We're in the current gen, basically, so would make sense for a new Street Fighter. Rockman Match. Now, what Rockman Match is, I have no idea, but it's obviously something related to Mega Man. So it's good that Capcom hasn't forgotten about Mega Man. That's good to know. Resident Evil 4 remake. This is interesting. This has been speculated a lot. But, you know, a lot of people would have seen this coming after the success of the Resident Evil 2 and 3 remakes. This is coming out in the fourth quarter of 2022. So, you know, Resident Evil fans are going to have to wait a little bit. Monster Hunter 6. Which is interesting. Wait, Monster Hunter 5, is that Monster Hunter World? Or is that Monster Hunter Rise? Does anybody know?
No clue.
It's one of those weird things where it's like, there's so many Monster Hunter games, which ones are considered numbered and which ones aren't, you know what I mean? There's definitely more than 5 out there.
Yeah, I agree. If you count like the mobile, not the mobile, but the handheld versions.
Like the sure. PSPs, yeah.
Yeah, Biohazard Apocalypse comes out in the third quarter of 2023. So that's another Resident Evil game, it seems. Maybe a spinoff or maybe another remake of some spinoff. I don't know. Now, this is interesting. SSF 6. Mm-hmm. It's just the abbreviation. We don't know what this is. This might be Super Smash Friends 6. This might be a Serious Sam Forgiven 6.
It's probably not Super Street Fighter 6. So we can just skip past that.
I mean, that would have been weird if they scheduled like Street Fighter 6 in 2022 and then a year later we're going to release the same game but better. That's kind of weird, but you know, it doesn't sound like strange for Capcom to do that. They've been known to do that. So right after SSF 6, we have Final Fight Remake, which is scheduled for the second quarter of 2024. Final Fight. Okay, that's interesting. Now, this is a big one. I know that there are fans of this franchise and who have been begging for a sequel or for a remake, anything really. Power Stone Remake.
Okay.
Third quarter of 2024, Power Stone. I heard a lot of good things about Power Stone. Oh my god, what the... Okay.
Yeah, here we go.
Ultra Street Fighter 6. Ultra Street Fighter yeah. 6 for yeah. the fourth quarter of 2024. Okay, so is Capcom going to release like 3 versions of the same game 3 years in a row? Like I'm starting to think this list might be fake, and if it is, I'm very sorry for the viewers. Blame IGN.
I'm looking at the same list on Nintendo Life, and they got it from Push Square. So, I mean, it's all over the place. So, whatever their source is.
Might be legit. Might be not. I mean, and the last one we have on this list, finally, the crossover everybody's been waiting for between the Biohazard series and King of the Hill. Resident Evil Hank. for the fourth quarter of 2024. Now, it's going to be interesting to see the gameplay in that game because, you know, using propane to fight zombies, that's legit. I'd play that game.
And propane accessories.
Oh, you can't forget about the accessories.
Yeah, that's exciting. I can't wait for Resident Evil Hank.
These zombies ain't right. Just walk up to them. I don't know you. That's my purse. Kick them in the nuts.
Yeah, I think if you beat the game on normal, you can start it over on hard mode with pocket sand, like infinite pocket sand as your weapon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
All of the zombies, they want, like, well-done burgers, so you have to politely ask them to leave.
Yeah, so I don't know, that release schedule, it does sound like if you asked me right now to predict what Capcom would do for the next 4 years, I would probably say exactly that. I would be like, well, they're going to remake a Resident Evil or two, and then they'll probably do like three Street Fighters, and then, you know, like, I don't know, the Power Stone remake is almost the only thing in there that seems unexpected in any way.
I really doubt that this list is real, because it sounds too good for a fan of these franchises. Like Dragon's Dogma 2. Though, then again, Dragon's Dogma did get a PC release recently, so maybe that sold well. Maybe they see potential in a sequel to that. But Power Stone, I really doubt that's happening. But I hope it does, because I know a lot of people would be happy about it. But come on, when did the last Power Stone game come out? Like 20 years ago or something?
It was Dreamcast, wasn't it?
I don't know. I thought it was a GBA game. Wait.
No, it was on the Dreamcast and the PSP. 1999 was... Oh, that was the first one.
Oh, they had multiple Power Stones?
Maybe, yeah. Power Stone 2. And then there was a remake on the PSP.
Yeah. 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 The last official release of a Power Stone game was in 2006.
Yeah, and that was just a remake of the first two.
Yeah, it was a port, like, on the PSP. So maybe that sold really, really well, and Capcom was like, oh, we should touch this franchise sometime.
And they've been working on the sequel for the last 15 years. It's like, it's the Final Fantasy 15 of fighting games.
No, this is like the Cyberpunk 2077 of Capcom. They've been just grinding nonstop. Crunch. Like, it's going to be this year. It's got to come out in 2018. No, we got to make it better. Like 2024, that's... Do companies legit schedule that far into the future?
You'd think so. Yeah.
I'm sure they do. I mean, didn't Marvel come out once in like 12 or 13 and announce their whole slate of movies through like 2019 or 20?
Yeah, I suppose. I didn't think that development cycles would have been... Well, actually, yeah, with AAA games, yeah, they usually take like 5 years, so yeah, I'm stupid.
Square Enix probably plans them out 15 years in advance. Like, let's announce Kingdom Hearts 3 in like 2013, and then release it forever later on a different console.
Yeah, so some of the other information from these Capcom leaks, because the one you were talking about, that release schedule, that happened, that only came out a day or two ago, I think, didn't it? Or
yeah, there was another one previously where the Ace Attorney games were leaked, coming to the PlayStation 4 and the Switch, and also supposedly like a seventh installment is in the works.
I didn't see anything about the seventh installment. So basically, there was another collection of Ace Attorney 1 to 3 coming, and then there were two Ace Attorney games released in Japan in 2015 and 17 that haven't been localized yet because they're kind of non-canon. They take place like around the turn of the century, whereas the rest of them are modern. So those are finally being localized, it looks like.
Okay,
that might be what you're thinking of, yeah.
Does anybody know, have you played the 1 to 3 remakes of Ace Attorney on any system?
I've played the first three cases of Ace Attorney 1 like three times, and I always lose interest during the third case.
Oh, well, you just have bad taste. I mean, sorry, those games are amazing.
I liked the first two cases, and everyone always tells me the third one is the worst, so I need to like get past that case so I can enjoy the games, but
I don't know, man. That third case is just such a drag.
Wait, what was it about? What was the third case about? What was...
They're filming they're filming like a samurai TV show, and one guy accidentally kills the other while they're filming.
Oh yeah, that was good. I don't know.
But, I don't know.
But here's the thing. I remember because the first one that came out for the GBA, it was then ported to the DS. Like the entire trilogy first came out on the Game Boy Advance, and then was ported to the Nintendo DS. And In the first game, they actually added a final case, like a case number 5, I think. Or okay. Did those games have like 3 cases? I don't remember. So
I think they have 5.
Yeah, well, they added another one, I remember, to the DS in the first game. And it utilized like the touch screen better. It had like 3D models you can inspect. You didn't have any of those functions in the previous cases. And, you know, I didn't know at the time that these were ports of GBA games. And I was like freaking out. Why did they just use all these techniques only in the fifth case? This doesn't make sense. But as I found out recently, they added it later. So what I'm asking is, maybe you guys know, this is a podcast question of the week. Do these Ace Attorney remakes have the additional case in the DS version added into them? Because I don't know.
You'd think so. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Do I look like an Ace Attorney to you?
Hey-o.
Oh my god, I just...
It's something he's emphasized many times. He's not an Ace Attorney.
Anyways, well, I know what Eric definitely isn't. He isn't a international espionage assassin who works for the British government. He's no James Bond. Oh, shit. Speaking of James Bond, I.O. Or is it I.O.?
I know
that was the same both times.
It's probably lowercase L Z, and then the number 0.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's I.O.
Okay. So yeah, I.O. We're hyping up some kind of announcement on the social medias, you know, and people were speculating, thinking, oh, another Hitman game, or maybe it's something else. Who knows? But as it turns out, it's a James Bond game. That's right, IO, the developers of Hitman, are actually working on a James Bond game. Has anybody here played Hitman?
Yeah, I've played it, yeah.
I've played a few of them, yeah. I don't know, I'm excited for this. I like those Hitman games, especially... I don't know, they seem to fit the James Bond mold pretty well of being... I don't know, they're good stealth games. They're just kind of basic, like, secret spy things. I don't know. Like, I think it'll be a good game, but I don't know that the James Bond license will add much to it that they don't already do with Hitman, I guess. Mm. Like, I feel like having the James Bond license might just, it'll basically just be a Hitman with more broad appeal.
People are really nostalgic about GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64. I know that this is probably going to be nothing like that, but that's something that the James Bond brand can do, is appeal to that little bit of nostalgia. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you can't play any Superman games anymore because of Superman 64. Now you're going to play the James Bond games because of James Bond 64. And the only reason people still play Mario...
James Bond 64.
James Bond 64.
fuck GoldenEye 007. I want James Bond 64.
Yeah, that sucks because that wasn't even the joke. I was about to get to the joke.
That's all right. You can start over. James Bond 64 just took me.
The only reason people still play Super Mario Bros. Is because of Super Mario 64. But my inadvertent joke was better than my actual joke.
Oh, man. I cannot wait for the James Bond 64 remake.
Now everything that was like I really like Super Smash. Oh, wait, actually, never mind. That is a 64.
Whatever. Yeah, it is.
Moving on.
Did you hear they blocked that tournament of Super Smash Bros. Melee 64?
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, go on, Alan John.
Wasn't the last James Bond game like this weird game where you played as the Craig Bond, but you were experiencing like levels from previous Bond movies, like previous Bonds even? Like you had Goldfinger levels?
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. I never played it, but yeah, I do kind of remember that happening. It was like a greatest hits of the James Bond games, or James Bond movies, but as a game. It was like, was that 007 Legends, I think?
Maybe, because I remember it coming out after the GoldenEye remake for the Wii, which, let's say it was mixed in its reception.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, James Bond 64 Wii? The Wii make? The Wii make?
Hey-o.
I don't see a problem with using the Daniel Craig version of 007 to play sort of stories from earlier movies because of the fact that they're all technically supposed to be the same dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder if Io's going to do like what Insomniac did with Spider-Man by not like adapting. Well, at the time when they released the game, they weren't like making Peter Parker look like Tom Holland or something, but you know what happened.
Now on the remaster, they recast him someone that looks exactly like Tom Holland.
Yeah, it's just a coincidence. You know, it's because his face has a higher fidelity than the previous actor's face. That's literally what they said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this new kid is younger, so he was released in 4K.
Makes sense. I mean, but I wonder if they're going to like make their own version of James Bond, which is something we've never actually seen before, because previously in all video games Bond related, you had one of the Bonds, at least either Pierce Brosnan or Daniel Craig or whoever else. I wonder if they're going to like make their own Bond, or they're going to do something cooler. What if they make like a retro style Bond? What if this is Sean Connery's, I mean, rest in peace. What if this is a Sean Connery Bond on some unknown mission that wasn't in the movies for some reason? That would have been cool.
Well, so they are, they've said they're doing a completely original story, and it's actually an origin story. So, yeah, you're trying to earn your 00 status, so you're not 007 when the game starts, and you, I guess, need to work up to it. So that almost makes it sound like it's going to have, like, RPG elements, I guess, with, like, level progression.
Well, I guess that could work for James Bond. We necessarily haven't seen his origin story other than maybe Casino Royale.
I don't know. I think I like the idea of him starting off as, like, an inexperienced agent. I don't know that I wanted to get, like, much into, like, the personal reasons of his origin story. But if it's just him, like, as a young agent learning things and gaining levels and skills and equipment, like, I could get into that. That sounds cool. I'd be interested to know the time period, too. Like, would it be contemporary, or if it's an origin story, are they going to go back to, like, the 60s? Because that would be pretty cool, too.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if they're going to, like, take elements from the movies or go, like, from Ian Fleming's books or something.
Like, yeah, because it says it's an original story, but they're probably going to take elements from other stuff, right? Like,
I mean, Spider-Man was an original story, but you had, you know, Spider-Man, Peter Parker, Mary Jane, Doc Ock, everybody else.
Yeah, so you probably get, oh man, wouldn't it be awesome if this was like, you know, like in the games where they bring in every big villain, so this game has like Blofeld and Moonraker and Goldfinger and like... Mm-hmm. Was Moonraker a dude? I don't even know, but...
I thought Moonraker was, like, the title of the movie. I didn't... I don't know.
It was the title of the movie, but so was Goldfinger, right? So...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and, like the enemy Casino Royale. Was that a boy or a girl? I don't remember.
I remember the final scene of that movie where the enemy looks James Bond straight into the eye and says, "Finally, after all these years, I have become Casino Royale."
With cheese.
Yeah, it was Sam Jackson playing him. Yeah. Yeah, I remember in Skyfall when they cast Christoph Waltz as Blofeld and completely wasted him and had him do nothing for the whole movie. That was awesome.
Yeah, I don't watch those movies. They're too misogynistic for me, especially the old ones, you know?
Yeah, the old ones are a bit rough.
I'm really excited for this game. I think whenever it does come out, it will end up being nominated for Game of the Year. Have you guys heard that the Game of the Year for 2020, by the way, 2020 is almost done. Thank God they've announced what the nominees are.
Yes, and wow, what a coincidence. I actually have the list right here on my iPad, so let me
That's crazy.
Read it out. Doom Eternal, Ghost of Tsushima. Sorry, I mispronounced that. It's Ghost of Tsushima, because it's like tsunami, the T is silent. See? I'm not racist.
Mm-hmm. You're not continental. Look at you. So cultured, yeah. Alan John.
I'm an international man.
You're an international criminal, you, like a pirate.
You guys heard about these RCM loaders?
We're not going to talk about my past on this podcast, so okay. Yeah. Anyways, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Hades, The Last of Us Part Two.
You know that it's not pronounced Hades, right?
Oh my God. I don't know. Hades. I don't care about Greek.
Come on. That's Hades.
Whoa, racist. Alan John.
That's disgusting.
Oh God, we're getting canceled so hard. Oh, I can hear the protests right now.
I mean, Greek people do nothing all day. They just collect debt.
Okay, moving on. Union.
I mean, it's true. It's not racist if it's true.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's actually what Hades is about, is just collecting debt. It's a free-to-play mobile game.
Taking loans and not paying them back.
The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah, anyways, Last of Us Part 2. And also, the biggest game of biggest game of this year, probably, Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Alan John doesn't like all the dogs in that game.
I've got nothing against dogs. I've played how many? Okay, I've played Doom Eternal, okay? And I played Animal Crossing, but not on the Switch, but on the 3DS, New Leaf. I played that. So I guess you could say I've experienced all of these games in some shape or form. So I don't know which one's the best. For me, it's Doom Eternal, but I don't know what Hades is. Is that how you pronounce it?
God bless America.
Hades.
So I've played the original Doom. I have played The Witcher, which is basically Ghost of Tsushima. I have played the original Final Fantasy VII. I have played Kingdom Hearts 1, where you fight Hades. I've played The Last of Us Part 1, and I've played several Animal Crossings that aren't this one. I have played none of these games, but through all of that, I will say that Hades is the best.
Because it has a tangential relation to Kingdom Hearts?
Yes.
Cool. Love it. The only one of these I've actually played is Animal Crossing. I haven't played any of the other ones.
Oh, you've played Doom, the original one. So
2016. Well, I've played the original also, yeah.
Yeah.
Doom Eternal just went on sale. I was actually going to buy it today, so I will probably have an opinion on Doom Eternal soon.
I mean, I heard good things about Ghost of Tsushima, which, as Eric said, I quote, is the Japanese Witcher.
As in, he's a Witcher, but like he hunts down Japanese people instead of monsters.
So, Doom Eternal, right? It's like a really good, solid game. Some people don't like it. They're idiots. But it's a sequel, okay? Ghost of Tsushima, it's an original IP. A lot of praise about the open world, the combat. It's got the Akira Kurosawa mode in it, which is just a black and white filter and some other stuff. Final Fantasy VII Remake, this is a mixed bag. A lot of people say that this is definitely Game of the Year, but a lot of people, spoiler, or I don't know if this is a spoiler, but it doesn't follow the plot of the original one-to-one. And a lot of people praise the plot of the original. And this isn't even like a finished game, because it's like the first third of the original Final Fantasy VII. Keep that in mind. Hades, never played it. I watched a video. It looked kind of like Bastion, which was a game, an isometric thing.
It's same guys. It's Supergiant.
Really? Oh, yeah. Dude, I should check that out. I loved Bastion.
I've heard amazing things about Hades, honestly. I've been meaning to get around to it. I've just haven't had the time.
I heard it's like a roguelike, which means that the levels generate each time, every time after you die.
Yeah.
So I don't like that.
I've heard it. I don't know a ton about it. I heard it does have some kind of progression. Like if you get so far into it, you can like carry experience or something over to your next play, or something will change in the world. I don't 100% know how it works, but I don't think you're stuck back at zero every time you die.
The first and only roguelike I've played was The Binding of Isaac, and I really, really didn't like that game for a lot of reasons.
It's really hard.
Yeah, but I'm also a devout Christian. I praise the Lord Jesus Christ every day, and I didn't like the themes discussed in that game. You know what I mean? People who play that game know what I mean. But anyways, Last of Us Part 2, it might win because it's very popular among critics. Players, not so much, to be honest, for a lot of reasons. It looks visually like phenomenal from what I've seen, but again, this is another sequel. Sequels, I don't know how often they win Game of the Year. I think last time that happened was Half-Life 2. I might be wrong.
Well, I mean, by whose metric? Because, I mean, the Game Awards, the Jeff Keighleys haven't existed for that long, have they?
I don't care. Anyways, Animal Crossing New Horizons. This is like a very serious contender. Between Animal Crossing and Ghost of Tsushima, one of these is going to win, I think. Maybe Hades as well. Hades, I'm sorry, to all the Greeks. What I said previously about Greek people was a joke, please. So, definitely Animal Crossing, just because, you know, it was really big. I mean, Joe Biden played Animal Crossing. I mean, Joe Biden didn't play Doom Eternal. Joe Biden didn't play Final Fantasy VII Remake, so...
God, picturing him playing any of these games is funny to me. I don't know why.
Now, Hades was a bad dude. Anyways. So, yeah, who do you guys think? We should make, like, another addition to our Google Docs document where we predict who's going to win.
Yeah, sure.
So, I predict it's going to be... Wait,
before you make your prediction, I just want to say, you were saying earlier that sequels generally don't win.
Yeah.
Dragon Age Inquisition won in 2014, and The Witcher 3 won in 2015. And GTA 5 won in 2013. And Skyrim won in 2011.
Okay, all those games that...
Uncharted 2 won in 2009. GTA 4 won in 2008. They're all sequels. Oblivion won in 2006. Resident Evil 4 won in 2005. GTA San Andreas won in 2004. And Madden NFL 2004 won in 2003. So...
Okay, might be wrong, so...
He's just rubbing it in your face at this point. When was the last time that something that wasn't a sequel won?
Actually, the last few haven't been sequels. All right. The last sequel was 2015. Since then, it's been Overwatch, Breath of the Wild, God of War, and Sekiro.
Wait, yeah. God of War.
God of War, dude, is a sequel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see a number at the end, but I'm also an idiot. Yeah, okay, God of War is a sequel. Good call.
Yeah, that's the thing. You shouldn't add the number to the sequel. It doesn't matter. That's it.
Oh, so that means Doom Eternal can win.
Doom Eternal can definitely win. I don't think it's got like the hype machine that Animal Crossing and Ghost of Tsushima have. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Ghost of Tsushima is going to win because it's like the safest bet. It's the least controversial out of all of these.
That might have been my bet, but because you already said it and I don't really want to steal it, I'm going to say mine before Steven can say his, The Last of Us Part 2.
Why?
Because Alan Jean took Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay. I would say probably, I don't know. Hades, I don't think will win because I think it's in there as their indie pick, so they look like they're all cool and they're in the know, but I don't think they would actually give it to a game that small. And I don't think it would be Eternal or 7 Remake. So I'm going to go with Animal Crossing because, like, there's never been a game, even if it's not the best game this year, there's never been a game more perfectly suited for any year of its release where, like, that game came out exactly when quarantine started over here in North America. And I guess in Europe was probably around the same time. And it was just, like, this perfect little virtual world where people could still go out and do things and somewhat interact with their friends right at a time when all that was taken away in real life. So... I would say Animal Crossing is a pretty decent pick for Game of the Year. And we should clarify real quick that this isn't, these aren't our personal picks. This is our predictions on what the game awards will give, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't even played Ghost of Tsushima. If I would say that was my Game of the Year, that would be that's like true. An insult to all the others.
I just wanted to clarify for people listening, just in case that wasn't clear.
Yeah, in case you skipped like the entire episode and went to
where we said it like five times.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
In the order of the games that I would play, like of these nominees, I'd probably play Tsushima first, then Doom Eternal, then Final Fantasy, then Last of Us, then Hades, then Animal Crossing. That's just my personal thing. But I still think The Last of Us Part 2 might win this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of baggage with that game, though, because it was really controversial between, like, it was controversial on one side with the crunch and everything, and then on the other where people didn't like the gaze, and there's a lot of bad stuff with that game. There's some baggage involved.
Wait. Did you just say the gaze?
Yeah, a lot of people didn't.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up.
People didn't like that there were gay people in it, so it could be a controversial pick. I don't know if the Game Awards is bold enough to go out there and pick that.
I didn't know that game had gay people in it, or the gays, as Steven refers to them.
How I refer to them constantly is the gays.
You're listening to the Temcast. We respect all the LGBTs and the Greeks and the Japanese. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, this very tolerant episode we've had today. Be sure to like us on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on, and leave us a like on YouTube. Subscribe, please. Please subscribe. I need it. And thanks for listening, and yeah, goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Love you.
Be nice to great people.